parsha tells us about the mitzvah of appointing a king. Now, appointing a king, the line that I just said is already an assumption. The mitzvah of appointing a king. So the truth is that it's a big debate if it's a mitzvah to appoint a king. Is it ideal to have a king, or is it not ideal to have a king? So we know that when the nation asked for a king from Shmuel, so Shmuel got very upset. What are you asking for a king for? You have me. You have religious leaders. What do you need a king for? What do you want to be like the Goyim, that they have a king? And the people said, yeah, we want a Goyim, a king, like all the Goyim. That's exactly what we do want. It was a big, big debate. Now, how, and Hashem says, listen, it's really bad that they asked, but give it to them, give them show. Why is it so bad that they asked? It seems to be a mitzvah in the Mitzvah Parsha. Ki savo el haaretz, asher Hashem elokech, anosein lechav, yirshav, yishavte, after you come in and you establish residency in Eretz Yisrael, via Martin, you'll say, asim olai melech, kol agar mesher suvosai, we want a monarch just like everybody else does. Som tosim olach melech. Place for yourself a king. Appoint a king. Asher yivchar Hashem lekecha bo mikar v'achecha. Tosim olacha melech. And then we were told all these halachas. He has to be Jewish. Don't put an ish nachri. Lo yarbe lo susim. He shouldn't have too many horses. Lo yoshev es ha-Mitzrayim. In order to not to return the nation to Mitzrayim. Apparently Egypt is where the slave, the horse trading was centered. Pasuk yud zayin. Lo yarbe lo nashim. Don't have too many women. Lo yasser levavo, because women, they too many wives will cause you to stray. Kesef bizav lo yarbe, don't have too much money. And then we're told, v'hayak yishifto akisei mamlachto v'kasev lo es mishnah Torah zos al sefer milutnei hakohanim v'aleviim. The king also has a mitzvah to write for himself a sefer Torah. Every Jew has a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah, but the king has to write an extra sefer Torah. He has to keep with him. Keep on him all the time. That might be the lashon of Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah here doesn't mean the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, and Mishnah Torah doesn't mean Dvarim in this situation necessarily. It might mean a two Torahs, one for himself and one for the regular mitzvah. He will keep it with him and read from it every day. In order so that he'll always have Yiras Shamayim. And he'll always follow the mitzvos. Levilti rom levavo me'achav. In order that his heart, in order that he doesn't become more haughty than his brethren. Levilti sor min ha-mitzvah yamin u'smol. And he also won't stray then from the mitzvos. Leman yarech yamim al-malachto. In order that his reign will be, he will reign for a long time, with a G reign. Hu bano b'kerev Yisrael. And he'll have also he'll have a legacy, not only himself, but his son will reign after him.
Sukkot don't seem to make it fine. They seem to.
Say it again, what?
Sukkot don't seem like it's fine. It seems like there's so much bad things that can happen.
So it sounds like it's warning you. Som tosim alecha melech sounds like a commandment. Som tosim alecha melech. You shall appoint for yourself a king. But you have to be careful. He has to follow the rules, just like everybody has to follow the rules, right?
Says that when they go into Israel,
they will ask, it sounds like. Right.
So it's not that you have to, it's that if you ask.
Oh, so this is the debate. It's actually a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Is it a reshus or is it a mitzvah? The Rambam seems to pass it's a mitzvah. He counts it as one of the Tariyat mitzvahs. To appoint for yourself a king. And that gets the whole debate then. He said, what was Shmuel so upset about? Maybe about. Say it again?
First couple of years in Israel.
Right, they only had Shoftar. Correct. So it could be that they didn't fulfill the condition of v'yirashta v'yishavta bo. Right? If you learn through Sefer Shoftim, what's the Sefer basically about? Finishing the conquest of Israel. So it could be that once the conquest was finished, so then they appointed a king. And there are some Rishonim who say that the reason it was bad what they asked is because it wasn't the right time yet. They hadn't yet reached that stage. I mean, right? The Plishtim are still attacking. It wasn't perhaps in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. So it could be it wasn't the right time. It could be the way they asked wasn't appropriate. It was offensive to Shmuel. They should have waited for Shmuel to die. That's a big debate. The Abarbanel is the interesting Shita who says that, no, it's really not a mitzvah at all. And here the Torah is just telling you that you can. But it's really not ideal. And that's an interesting debate. We won't discuss it now. But what is the ideal form of government from a Torah perspective? Is it democracy? Is it a monarchy? And we speak about Melech HaMashiach. So it sounds like that sounds like it's a good thing. So maybe different time periods have different ideal forms of government. Anyway, I wanted to point your attention to this Ramban. Take a look what the Ramban says. on the pasuk of Levilti Rom Levavo Me'achav, that he should not have, well, it's unclear what, right? The last pasuk here, pasuk Chav, says, in order so that you don't become haughty. So what's in order so that you shouldn't become haughty, right? The Torah had just listed a whole group of things. Don't have too many horses. So is not having too many horses in order so that you don't become haughty? The Torah had given a different reason not to have too many horses, so that you don't go back to Mitzrayim. And then it says, don't have too many women, too many wives. Is that also so that you shouldn't be haughty? Doesn't sound like it. Sounds because they'll make you stray. So it's a little bit of a debate what this pasuk is referring to. But it certainly is referring to the most immediate thing before, and that is to write a Sefer Torah and to read from it every day. If you write a Sefer Torah and you read from it every day, it will prevent you from being haughty. So the Ramban says, Nirmaz Bikan B'Torah Isser Hageyus. The Torah here is hinting to us about the Isser to be a Bal Gaiva. So when I saw this Ramban yesterday, it was connected to what we spoke about in Pirkei Avos the other morning, so I thought we would talk about it. So let's see what the Ramban says. Ki akosav yimaneh ha-melech, he actually says exactly the horror we said in Pirkei Avos the other day. Ki akosav yimaneh ha-melech migeos v'romos alev. The pasuk here is trying to stop the king from having haughtiness, from having romos alev. V'kol shekein, by the way, lev in rabbinic writing, it could mean the heart, but it also means the mind. Why do I say that? Like, for instance, Chazal tell us, Lo sasuru achrei levavchem. And the Gemara learns, what does that mean? Now, you might think that means don't follow after your passion, like your unbridled passion. But it says, Lo sasuru achrei levavchem yachrei einechem. And the Gemara says, einechem means nus, like things that you see. That sounds like that's your passion. And what's achrei levavchem? Not to become an apikoros. So what's apikorsis? Apikorsis is a perversion of passion, or it's a perversion of the mind. Perversion of the mind. We say, and even in modern Hebrew, libi amar li, which says like my heart tells me. That means like I have a, like that's just the way I think it to be. I don't have a proof, but that's just the way I see things. Libi amar li. Or we say lev maven, the heart understands. What does that mean? The heart understands. The mind understands. So sometimes lev means heart, but sometimes lev refers to the intellect. There's actually a famous sefer, Chovos HaLevavos. Right, you've heard of that sefer? Yeah. What's it about?
The internal.
All the mitzvos you have to be thinking about all the time. Loving God, fearing God, that God exists. So are those heart mitzvos? Or are those mind mitzvos? And I think the English translation, they call it duties of the heart. That's not really the correct translation. It's duties of the mind. Now, we know that our passion and our heart influences our intellect as well. So there is obviously a relationship between the heart and the mind. But be that as it may, that's what Romas Halev. Romas Halev doesn't mean you have a high heart. Like you really have a big heart about yourself. Romas Halev means that you think highly of yourself. So look what he says. The pasuk is trying to stop the king from having arrogance. Romas Halev. V'kol shekein ha'acherim she'enam ru'uyim lakach. And how much more so others who it's not even befitting of them to be haughty, right? That's what we were saying the other day, that Moshe Rabbeinu had all the reason in the world to be haughty, and he wasn't. So the king has all the reason to feel like, you know, he's the man, because he's the king. So of course he's going to feel that way. So if he is commanded to not be a Baal Gaiva, so al achas kama v'kama, the regular person, ki b'roi l'sroim l'sgadel, if when you're dealing with a person who's roy to be Miss Romaine and to be Miss Gadel, to be great, yasi renu yos levavo shafel, yet there's a commandment that we should be lowly, kichol echov, hakatanim imenu, you should feel like everybody else who are in actuality are really lower than him, smaller than him, but he should feel like, shouldn't feel entitled. So then kol shekein us. One second, let me just finish this piece here. Ki a gaiva mida meguna v'nimasas etzel alokim. It's something that Hashem, gaiva, something that Hashem really despises. Ki le Hashem levado hagedula v'aronimus. Hashem is the only one who really deserves to feel great, and to feel amazing, right? Everything that we have that we feel amazing, we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? A person's born into a family with a lot of money. or a person's born into a a person's born with good looks, or a person's born with an athletic build. You didn't do any of that. You were born that way. That's not you. Gaiva start, that's just foolish to be gaiva, have gaiva about that. You have gaiva that you're good looking, you didn't make yourself good looking. You and the guy who's not good looking, neither of you did anything to deserve that. It's the deck of cards that you were dealt. Gaiva starts to creep in when we accomplish. The person actually makes accomplishments, that's when you really start to struggle with gaiva. Because I distinguished myself. I was like the guy next to me and I distinguished myself. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the real one who deserves this Romulus, this guy, this Gedula. And he quotes, that's the pasuk that I wrote in the top of the page, Tovas Hashem Kol Gava Lev, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain, he despises in a certain sense, people who have Gaiva. Yeah, have you had a question?
What
is Shafel? Shafel means to be low.
And what is Romulus?
Romulus means to be high, yeah. Ram. Okay. So that's what the Ramban here says. Now, it's really interesting. The Ramban, when he says, when he says, Nirmos bekam de Torah Isser HaGeus. What does that mean? It's hinting to us the Isser of Gaiva. What do you mean it's hinting the Isser of Gaiva? What you hear between the lines is that Gaiva is not actually an Isser. And if you think about it, do we find an Isser by any Midos Ros? Is it an Isser to be conceited? Is it an Isser to be a Baal Gaiva? Is it an Isser to, I don't know, think of another bad midah? Is that it to be stingy? It's true, we have certain requirements, you have to give tzedakah. But if you have a stingy personality, if you're conceited, if you're self-centered, is that an Isser? Sounds like not. And in fact, if you look in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, you will not find an Isser of Gaiva. There's no Isser of Gaiva. Now, we're going to have to talk about this once in a Bayit Chaim. But it'll be later in the year, so you'll probably forget by then. So I'll say it now, and I'll say it again later, because I think it's such an important yisod. Maybe now that I said that, you'll remember it. You know why you don't need a... there's no Isser. Even more than that, there's no punishment in the Torah for bad midos. Right? We always say midos are so important. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. If you eat something non-kosher, the Torah has a punishment for it. If you... whatever Isser you're going to do, you work the land during Shemitah, the Torah tells a punishment. You break Shabbos, the Torah tells a punishment. How come the Torah doesn't say a punishment for being a Baal Gaiva? How come the Torah doesn't have a punishment for being conceited and self-centered and pompous? I'll tell you perhaps what the answer is. Because the greatest punishment is being a Baal Gaiva and pompous and self-centered and conceited. And you might not realize it yet, but people who are self-centered and Baalei Gaiva, so first it begins, let's say you have a person who's really critical. That's a good example. Someone who's really critical of other people. So first it begins by being critical of, you know, some guy he doesn't know in the post office who annoys him because, I don't know, he cuts the line. And then he starts being critical of, you know, the people in shul. And then he starts being critical of his family members. And eventually that criticism becomes so much a part of who he is that he's so self-critical that he can't even be happy with who he is. He goes through his life and he's always so self-critical, he can't be happy with what he has, what talents he has. He's always looking at other people. He's always looking at himself. He has a low self-esteem. That's the greatest punishment. If you're a Baal Gaiva, you know, you have people. We all unfortunately know people who are big Baalei Gaiva, and they don't realize it. And they don't realize that they're talking sometimes and everyone is looking at them and thinking like, how do you talk that way about yourself? And don't you realize how uncouth you come across? Don't you realize how unsophisticated you sound? Don't you hear your own voice of how much of a Baal Gaiva you sound like? And that is the greatest punishment in and of itself, to be consumed with bad midos. And that's what happens with bad midos. The greatest reason to become better with your midos is not only because it'll be mashpia on others, it's for yourself. You'll live a much happier life if you're not a Baal Gaiva. You'll live a much happier life if you're not conceited and self-centered and critical. Critical, self-centered people are angry and bitter, and it's a sad and pathetic existence. But anyway, going back to the Isser. Is there an Isser of Gaiva? No punishment for sure, because Gaiva is enough of a punishment to be a Baal Gaiva. But is there an Isser? So the Ramban says, here you see a hint for the Isser of Gaiva. And in fact, Rambam doesn't count an Isser. There was one Monei HaMitzvos, though, that counts it as a mitzvah, meaning a bunch of the Rishonim made lists of the mitzvos. So one of those was the Smad, who's one of the Balei Tosfos, of Moshe of Kusi, and he made a list of mitzvos, and it's called the Smad, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. So in there, he has an amazing thing that he says in the introduction to the Mitzvos Lo Sase. It's the fourth source on your sheet. He says, "B'inyan lavin, ba'ilai b'chalom inyan mare b'zeh loshan." He says, "I had a dream. I once had a dream." What was his dream? "Hine," this is what he was told in a dream. He went to sleep, and he had a dream. "Hine shachachta sa'ikar, hishomer lecha pintishka chasashem lokecha." He says, "You forgot," and he was writing his sefer, "you forgot the iser of the pasuk that says pintishka chasashem lokecha." The pasuk that says, lest you forget about God. It is sort of forget about God. "Ki lo haya v'dayti l'chavro b'minyan halavin." I wasn't planning on counting that in my list of lo sases. "V'gam Rabbeinu Moshe lo hizkiru b'minyan." Who's Rabbeinu Moshe? The Rambam. And also the Rambam didn't count it in his list. "V'yazbonein alav b'boker." And when I woke up in the morning, I realized, "Hine yisod gadol hu b'yir ha-shamayim." It's a very important thing. Hashem knows that I'm not the type of person who's going to make up a story and say, "Oh, I got a dream," and he didn't really have a dream. I'm telling you the truth. I had a dream. And the only reason I'm even telling you about my dream is in order to give people chizuk, that I got a dream, how important this mitzvah is, and hopefully that will encourage people to take things seriously. So what is this mitzvah, this lo sase, of not forgetting God? So if you go down one more source, this is mitzvah samach dalet. Hishomer, this is where he actually counts it in his list. Hishomer locha pentishkach es Hashem lokecha, azhara shelo yizgal b'nei Yisrael. This is really an isra not to be a bal gaiva. When? Kishakarish baruch hu mashpi alem tova. When Hashem gives us goodness. V'yomru shebarevach shelahem v'omlam hirvichu. And a person will say, "Oh wow, I just did really well in business. That was me." As opposed to realizing that it was Hashem. You have a revach, and your omel, you work hard, and you say it was your hard work that brought it. V'lo yachziku tova l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not makir betov. Machmas ga'onam. Sh'al ze anova ze hamikra. This pasuk is coming to teach us to not be a bal gaiva. And when you are successful, to realize where that success comes from. There's nothing wrong. You're not a bal gaiva. If you're a great athlete, it's not a bal gaiva to think that you're a great athlete. If you dress well, you're not a big bal gaiva, you have a good sense of taste. It doesn't mean you're not a bal gaiva for recognizing that you have that quality. In fact, the opposite. That will help direct you into where you can make a difference in the world. Right? If you're a great athlete, so you could probably be an amazing counselor at a camp for kids. They're going to look up to you, and you can inspire them to not only be great at sports, but also to make a bracha, and to go to davening. They'll look up to you. If you're great with money, and you have a real good business acumen, so then you can be, besides being successful and giving tzedakah, you can also help your shul with their finances. There are plenty of ways that if you know your qualities, and you know what you're good at, you can help a lot of people knowing what you're good at. That's not called gaiva. Gaiva is when you think that it all came from you. You don't recognize that Hashem gave you these qualities. You think, "Oh, this is all because of my brilliance and my, you know, moves on the, on the trading floor. It was all me, me, me." That's where gaiva is coming from, and that's what it means. What is this pasuk? He had this dream. Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha. Don't forget God. That doesn't mean to forget that God exists. It means that as you're going through life and you're accomplishing a Mirtz Hashem, it's to forget God. That is the other side of the coin of gaiva. Gaiva means to forget about God's role in your successes. And he tells us again that he had this dream and he realized that it's so important that he includes this as an Isser. So is there an Isser of gaiva? The Rambam says no. The Rambam thinks that he found a hint to it in a pasuk in this week's parsha, but the Smag counts it as a definite mitzvah. Now I'm just going to add two things, and then I'll take a question. Two from the Rambam, I'm not going to read them inside. One is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Rambam in Hilchos Deos famously talks about the Shvil Azov, that's being on the middle path, not being an extremist. Rambam has a few exceptions to that rule. One of them is Gaiva. He says that when it comes to Gaiva, you should be more to the extreme of Anava. Not to the point where you have no self-esteem, but don't be smack in the middle between Gaiva and Anava. Lean a little bit towards Anava. That's number one. And number two, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah tells us that the secret, and this is what we said in the first mission in Perkei Avos, Moshe Kibol Torah Misina. He says the secret to Torah, to being successful in Torah, is to not be a Baal Gaiva. There is a direct correlation. He says that's why Torah is compared to water. Because water always works its way down. Now, everything works its way down because of gravity, except for fire and astronauts, I guess. But water, I guess the nature of water is that when there's a crack, and the water will always, you know, find its way through a crevice and work its way down. So Torah is compared to water, that it moves to the lowest location. And that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be a person who, the more and more, and it's such an important message, maybe actually I'll turn this into a great message for the beginning of the year, because I think the point is very true. The more we succeed in yeshiva, the more it obligates us to be humble and to not feel like we're greater than everyone else. Right? You go back to your communities, and you're in shul, and all of a sudden you're looking around, and you realize, like, that guy's filmed in the wrong place, that guy just bowed in the wrong place, that guy's talking in the time down, you're not allowed to talk, that thing you're eating there, that kashrus is a little bit questionable. That is not what we're supposed to be doing when we come back, because we've learned more. When you learn more, it is mechayev of you to feel more like the rest of the people, not to feel like you're greater. How do we know that? Because the king, who is greater than everyone else, is commanded in our parsha to feel like everybody else. Yeah, question.
To what percentage of individual actions you really have to attribute to God? Because I think it's obviously you have to be grateful to God for giving you tools, let's say like intelligence, whatever that things you're talking about. But with individual actions, isn't it really a case of like you make your luck? Like, let's say for example, you get a really good job and you did all the correct actions together, like you prepared for the interview, you got all these skills. Why can't you attribute that mostly to yourself?
So it's a great question, and I'll add to the question, which is, if we just sit there like warming our hands all day and saying, oh, it's all Hashem, it's all Hashem, it's all Hashem, so you're going to have no motivation to do anything. You're not going to feel accomplishment. One of the reasons we keep doing things, right? Like, if after I gave a shiur, no one ever came over to me and said, like, that was a great shiur. So it would be very hard for me to every day come and give a shiur. And you don't have to all after shiur today come and say something. I'm just saying that when a person sees accomplishment, it encourages them to want to keep doing that, right? How many basketball games can you play where you stink and you keep messing up? After a while, you're not going to want to play anymore. It's uncomfortable to be out there. And when a person is successful at something, that encourages them to want to keep doing it. So on the one hand, that sense of self-confidence is very important, and it helps us be great. On the other hand, I think that I'll add to your direct question. There are plenty of people who did all the right moves. They went to the right school. They studied for the tests. They got the internship interview, and one guy got it, another guy didn't get it. And it's not always because the first guy did better and the second guy didn't do better. You have two people who went to the best business school in the country. They both were trained in the same firm, and they each open up their own practice, and one is successful and one is not successful. And it's not always because, well, the first guy did something well and the second guy messed up. You have a lot of people who, even without messing up, you know, if you ask people in business, they would say, yeah, a lot of business is luck. A lot of business is luck. You can practice, and you can be prepared, and you can have all the background set up. We would call that siyata d'shmaya. Siyata d'shmaya means that even after all of the work and all the preparation, you still need that divine help. Like, I'm a decent speaker, and I speak sometimes in front of large crowds. But I'll tell you that sometimes I get up in front of a crowd, and it just comes out flat. What do you mean it comes out flat? Use your hands and gesticulate and raise your voice and lower your voice. Tell the story. You know what? I have some great stories, and sometimes they just don't come out well. What do you mean they don't come out well? I know the story. Sometimes it comes out great. Now, if you're from a secular perspective, so you start to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, you had a bad, you know, the milk was a little spoiled that morning, and there was someone in the crowd who was, you know, causing you not to concentrate. Sometimes there are factors like that, but there's definitely an element of siyata d'shmaya, and we have to never lose our sight on that element of siyata d'shmaya. where do we balance the feeling, accomplishment, and God's role? You're right, that is a tough balance to strike. And there is a balance there that needs to be struck. On the other hand, if we're too far in either extreme, if everything's only God and there's no me, and if everything's me and there's no God, so those are the extremes that I think are not healthy. All right.